It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, gay men, and welcome to another episode of Coming Inside Out. I'm your host, Mark Dembo, along with my co-host, Brian Janes. How are you today, Brian?
Mark, I am good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. It's, it's been a few weeks since we've had a chance to record, and here we are just a few weeks away from the Christmas holiday, and December 10th, yes, as we're recording this today, and it's been,
yes,
what, I think 3 or 4 weeks since we did our last episode.
It's been a bit. Yeah. And, you know, I'm noticing I had a tank top on before the recording, and I put on a shirt. You're wearing a sweater.
Yes.
It's like 83 degrees here today. I'm going to go lay up by the pool after this recording, and you're wearing a,
well,
sweater,
you know, so it's warmed up here today. I think it's, what, 40 degrees today. It's been a bit chillier. Winter is fastly arriving in New York. Yes.
Yes, so is our SoCal winter.
Yeah, well, I'd say fuck you, Brian, but
yeah,
this is, you know, we keep this podcast clean.
Oh, Mark.
Well, and speaking of being in Southern California, unfortunately, I was not able to make it out there for, I know there's a big get-together this past weekend, but I know, yes, a number of close friends were out there, and sounds like it was a great time by all.
What an amazing weekend. There was several people. There's probably maybe 10 people from out of town. You know, a couple flew in from across the country. But it was really nice. We went down to WeHo on Friday night. We just kind of bar hopped, hung out, had some great conversations. And then we had a holiday party gathering with probably, I would say, 30 dads at least, and a mix of other people. But what a great time. I met some guys that are new to the group that are in the process of coming out. So it was nice to just talk to those people, hear, you know, their fears, their anxieties of where they're at in the process.
Yeah.
And just welcoming them to the group.
Nice. So, nice.
Yes,
yeah.
It was great. And you were missed.
I know. I'd really wanted to make it out there. And, you know, unfortunately, just given timing of some things, I wasn't able to. As you know, over the past several weeks, one of the reasons we hadn't been able to record, unfortunately, I lost my father about 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago.
Yes.
And, you know, that certainly took a little bit of my attention over the past, yes, the past several weeks. Yeah.
Mark, I would love to ask you a couple of questions about that if you're open to it.
I am indeed, of course.
All right. I know that you came out to your dad before he passed,
yeah,
and that was very impactful in your life. I know that a lot of our listeners, you know, maybe some have, some haven't, some are on the fence, some would love to, wherever they're at in it. Would you be willing to share a little bit about that process with us? How old your dad was?
Sure.
Response.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And I may have shared some of this before, but, you know, I'd say one of the things with his passing that it's really made me reflect on over the past couple of weeks is my own mortality, mm-hmm, and living life as fully as we can,
yeah,
while we can. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional as I think about, yeah, it. You know, and for me, it just emphasizes or reemphasizes this whole process of being able to come out and live. So my dad was 87 when, he passed. Unfortunately, he'd been in declining health over the past few years, and then really over the last couple of months and had really taken, you know, quite a bit of decline, was in and out of the hospital. You know, it's still never easy, right? You know, as you know, he lived a good full life, but it's still always hard. And as I said, it just really has been reflection on my own mortality. I did come out to him.
What was your anxiety level when you were contemplating and making the decision of coming out to him?
You know, it for me, and I know, again, it's different for everybody. It wasn't that I had a high level of anxiety, because his health had been declining. He had some dementia, some cognitive issues. Part of my hesitation was, would he comprehend it fully? You know, and would it really make a difference? But I ultimately, and I would say, when I did tell him, it was about about 8 months ago. He was down in Florida. I was there visiting. It was kind of a spur of the moment decision. We were just kind of talking about life, and he was commenting on, you know, quite honestly, how he was not expecting his life to be where it is at the stage, you know, kind of in declining health, living in an assisted living facility, losing a lot of his independence. And I don't know if it was a matter of, you know, wanting to, you know, kind of commiserate, like, yeah, you think you got it bad. Let me tell you what's going on with me, kind of thing. But I led into it at that time by telling him that my wife and I were separating. You know, she'd been a part of the family for over 30 years, and he loved her like a daughter. He still does. I mean, he did, you know, well, even then, you know, he still didn't stop loving her just because we were separating. And that kind of, you know, led me to tell him. And the reason we were separating is because I'm gay. Of course, his first response when I told him that, he was like, "No, you're not." And I said, "Yeah, Dad, I am." And he said, "How do you know?" I was like, "Trust me, I know."
Yeah, experimentation.
Exactly. I know. But you know, it took him. He responded very favorably. His biggest concern was really around the fact that we were separating, because again, there was such a close bond. But he really came to understand and respect it. I mean, we had a few conversations about it, you know, subsequently he would ask, "How are you doing with everything?" And, you know, essentially he said, I'm glad that you're able to live your life."
Oh, very nice.
I am glad I had the chance to tell him. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm happy for you too. And I'm so sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, but just another level of living your authentic self is being was being able to tell him and being clean with where you are in life with him. So that's amazing.
Yeah. And I think sometimes when I talk to other guys going through this process, there can be such fear about each step. Just earlier today, I saw a post on our Gay Fathers Worldwide site from somebody kind of talking about their journey and where they are, and essentially saying, I don't know what to do next.
I saw that too.
And so much of what often holds us back is fear. It's the fear of the unknown.
Yes.
And one thing I've learned is that we can build up such fear in our minds that usually the reality is much less than what we actually fear.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. 100%.
And I try and live this every day, right? Take those small steps and ask yourself, what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Yes.
What's the likelihood that that worst thing is going to happen?
Yeah.
And even if it did happen, could I survive that? And then you decide what to do. So in this case, I'm glad I did tell him and took that step. Yeah.
Good for you. Yeah. It takes courage, but also it allows you to live that much more clean.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Well, listen, I want to share with the listeners really quick. Mark went above and beyond, printed up a 6-page outline for our podcast, which I so much appreciate. There's so much good stuff in here. So I want to dive into some of this with you because it has been a couple of weeks since we've spoken. And we recently had Thanksgiving. We're coming up onto the Christmas season. So why don't you kick us off, Mark, and tell us, you know, what's been going on with you, obviously, other than your father's passing. What else has been going on?
You know, as you said, Brian, kind of leading into, you know, what we thought we'd kind of theme some of our discussion around today is the holiday season.
Yeah.
All of us at different stages, you know, for me, this is the first holiday season I'm going through since I've been separated. I know it's been a few more years, you know, for you and for our listeners. Wherever you are on your journey, the holiday season can be, you know, everybody always thinks about it as this joyous time of family and celebrations, and it can be really hard. It can be joyous, but it can also be really hard, or sometimes all of that, you know, all at once. So I think what we wanted to kind of focus on is some of that and share what each of us might be going through right now.
Unfortunately, I cannot wait for the holiday season to be over. Can't wait. I'm not looking forward to it. Other than this past weekend going out with the gay dads group, I've shared with you, I'm struggling. I don't want to beat a dead horse with that. I've shared with you, I walk my dog at night. I kind of come up with a question to ask myself as I'm walking my dog, because I am just soul searching for some clarity in my life and some understanding. And I do my best every day to just wake up and be present. So, I don't know, the holidays, I'm struggling with it, buddy.
Yeah. So how'd you spend Thanksgiving?
At my sister's house. I will share with you, I had a great experience with some of the men in my dad's group. There was a birthday party that happened, and the two people, one of them, it was their birthday, the other one organizing it, a great couple, both previously married to women with children, go to this birthday party, and both of their exes were there with their children, one of them with their new spouse. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, my ex is very much a part of my family. My parents, my siblings have all known her for over 30 years.
Sure.
So when we have a holiday gathering, she's always there. She has a new boyfriend. Her and her boyfriend recently moved in together. So I thought after this party, I'm like, wow, I wonder, I've never met him. I don't know what he's doing for the holidays. I know that his family's from out of state. So I was just very, not just curious in a kind way. Hey, you know, what is your boyfriend doing for the holidays? Oh, I don't know yet. His family's back east. And I said, oh, have you thought about bringing him to my sister's house? So we had a conversation about that. Ultimately, she did not feel comfortable inviting him, which I can understand, but I'm open to that. I am so open to just being and living free. I don't want a bunch of hangups in my life anymore.
Yeah.
So Thanksgiving, you know, I just spent it. My kids were there. My ex was there. Kind of just grounded myself and just stayed present in the moment.
And how, so even though her new boyfriend wasn't there for Thanksgiving, when you're in those situations where she's there.
Yes.
How do you feel? Like, what's your, how do you feel, you know, from an emotional standpoint, does it, is it comfortable? Is it uncomfortable? Are you?
I will tell you this, maybe I've shared something along these lines before, but my body is alive when I'm around her, because our bodies had such a connection. I feel like our souls had a connection. I feel like we had a rhythm, you know, our bodies had a rhythm that bounced off of each other. So when my body is around her, my body, my heart, it feels very alive. My thoughts are, I'm sad and upset, you know, that here's a person that my body is sending a vibration to, if that makes sense to you or not. But I don't know. It's a mixed bag for me, because I feel like I want it to be different than it is, but I know that it can't be different than it is. And part of me is, maybe because I haven't moved along far enough in my process. I was sharing with one of the dads over the weekend, I feel like I'm in a gay adolescence. I don't feel like I've like gone through my gay puberty yet. I don't know what the fuck is going on with me, why it's taking so long. But that's kind of where I'm at with all of that.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel so, and it's been what, how many years for you now since?
5 years, almost six years. Yeah, almost 6 years.
So if you look at, let's say this Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Versus the first one since.
The first one I didn't attend.
You came out, or you guys split. Okay.
The first one I didn't go to. The first one I took my dog to the beach and I spent the day by myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably two of the five I spent alone.
So if you look at the ones where you've been there,
yes.
Do you feel like, is there any shifting of how you feel in that space?
Absolutely. I feel like an outsider in a lot of ways. I feel like the outsider.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think she feels like the outsider, which she shouldn't. Neither should I, but I do.
I get it.
But I don't share a ton. First of all, I don't think people want to hear it. And second of all, my story and where I'm at is sacred to me. And I'm only going to let people into that I trust and that I would value, feedback, something. I don't know. I'm not looking for that from my family. And I don't think I'm open to even hearing or caring what their opinion or feelings are. Not to be mean, but that's where I'm at.
Well, you've got to choose whose opinions, whose things matter, right?
Yes.
But I totally understand that sense of feeling like an outsider. For me, Thanksgiving this year, first Thanksgiving since we've been separated, and it was a real mixed bag for me as well. I'm going to rephrase that. It was not a great day for me.
It wasn't. Yeah. Well, okay. For a couple reasons, but.
And excuse me,
That's all right. I'm going to mute all that out anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. It was not a great day for me for a few reasons. One, it had been not even 2 weeks since my father had passed away. So I wasn't in the mood for a large get together.
Yes.
And as long as we've been together, we'd always been going to this large get together of close family and friends on her side, where over the years, this has grown to multi-generational, 30 plus people gathering. Very festive, all wonderful people. But to your point, I really felt like an outsider. And there were a lot of things going through my thoughts. One is, everybody knows what the situation is and what's going on. So it's not like there were secrets, but to me, there still feels like or felt like there was this elephant in the room because people don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, one, there was, okay, the loss of my father, and you know, many people who are aware of that certainly, you know, gave me their condolences, but then about everything else, right? Here we are, we all showed up together as a family, and yet they know we're not, in terms of, you know, living, yes, you know, we're separated. And I felt like I had to take a step backwards into playing a role that no longer fits me.
So you didn't show up as you today. You showed up as you last year, two years ago.
Right. It's not like there was any, you know, right. Because suddenly it's like, wait a minute. This is the role I played at Thanksgiving for, you know, 30 plus years. There is the husband as the, it's like, yes, not this gay guy who's attending Thanksgiving. Right.
Yes. Yes. That makes a lot of sense.
And I also find there's just not a lot of common ground. My life has moved in such a different direction.
Yes.
Of just things to talk about. So yes, it was a tough day. I you know, and I had thought about this beforehand, like, how am I going to get through the day? So part of it is drink heavily. No,
drink and smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, right. I had a few glasses of wine, but no, but there were a number of times I was like, you know what? I just need to go off and find my own space.
Yes.
You know, a number of times I just quietly got up, went outside for a few minutes to go walk, you know, and just kind of said, okay. And then also just reminding myself, well, wait a minute, I'm there for the family. I'm there for everybody else. And just put it aside for the one day. It was hard, though.
Yes.
It was hard.
I get that. Putting it aside and just being in the moment. Yes. I have times where I show up and I have to remind myself, wait a second. Just be here. Just go with the flow and, you know, be your authentic self. But within the parameters of why you're here and what you're doing.
Exactly. And some of it, a lot of my thoughts is, well, how much of this am I putting on myself versus what others are really even thinking?
Yes.
Because, you know, how much are, you know, we're thinking about ourselves and everything. Most people are like, they're not focused on us, right? Yes. They're focused on themselves.
Yes. They're saturated with their own thoughts in their own head about, yes, what's going on with them. So, yes, I totally get that too.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Mark.
Yeah.
It's nice that you were able to spend this time with your family. So I think a lot of people right now are struggling with either.
It's hard.
Not having the time with their kids. I see sometimes where people are posting that things are happening in their families and they're recognizing they're not getting invited to these things or, you know, so yes, I think we both are blessed with the fact that we have that family dynamic that we can still come back to.
And that's it as well. Right. I mean, I also recognize not everybody has that opportunity to be able to do those things. You know, I spoke with or heard from a number of other guys that were doing Friendsgivings, right? Getting together with, you know, with friends and doing things like that. And sometimes too, we put so much energy into these holidays that it's, becomes artificial almost, right? Yeah. Because there's so much you gotta have all the, you know, it's
Yes. And, you know, for me, I think if I didn't have a large family that I could fall back onto, maybe I would feel differently. I guess I take for granted that I have that, you know, to fall back onto versus if I was truly all alone versus making myself alone. I spend a lot of time making myself alone when there's no reason for it. But I have a hard time. I don't like a lot of the chatter, the noise, the superficialness that goes on. And I just, it feels more comfortable to be alone sometimes. So I'm processing.
But it's being alone, but sometimes being alone isn't a bad thing.
No, I think I spend too much time alone compared to other people, but that's something, you know, that I'm working on. So
see, but is comparing yourself to other people the right thing to do?
No. I beat myself up enough. I don't need to compare myself to another person.
Exactly.
To add more to it.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yes. Sometimes we just need to get out of our own way. Mm. Hey, Mark, I want to bring something up real quick with you. A couple weeks ago, I shared that, well, bring something up to the listeners also. A couple weeks ago, I shared with you that we had a woman write into the podcast. She had stumbled across our podcast on, I don't know what platform it was. She sent us an email that several years ago, she caught her husband, I think it was engaging in something. It could have been gay porn. I don't remember. She questioned him, but he dismissed it. Several years later, she kind of got the same sense. She wrote into the podcast asking for some advice or to talk to us. And we referred her and said, hey, listen, find a therapist. But wow, I mean, there's people out there that even when we don't think, we think we have everything under control, that on the outside, the reality is that somebody kind of has a sneaking suspicion that something's going on, right? They're writing into the podcast. They're sharing that whoever their husband is thinks that he is concealing what's going on with him, when in reality, he's not. And I think that, you know, a lot of men lived in that transition. Some of them were caught, some of them came out. But if there's any other listeners out there, because I wasn't expecting the wife of somebody who thinks that their husband is closeted gay to be listening to the show. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Obviously, we're not going to give you advice on anything, but, you know, you're in that same position. Know that you're not alone as the wife. Also, like we as closeted gay men thought we were all alone for a while. These women are not alone either.
No, that's so true. And as you know, to your point, Brian, look, it's not for us to give advice. We are not trained mental health professionals and always want to be very cognizant of that. We're here sharing our stories, our experiences. And I think sometimes just hearing and knowing you're not alone. Everybody's story is different, as we say all the time, but hearing those stories. So if this podcast is helpful or other resources out there, there are some other podcasts as well that, you know, kind of cover some similar ground. Hopefully it's helpful for people. It is. And you know, when you look at some of the emails that we get, comments that we get, you know, to your point, somebody who's a wife that's concerned about her husband is listening. We've heard from guys that are in their 20s and just starting their coming out journey. They've said, hey, I found your podcast. And, you know, while my situation's different, it's helpful for me. And to me, when I hear from people like that, it just reinforces that this journey of coming out, of stepping into yourself, of finding your true self, of being your whole self, is challenging at any stage in life because we're not doing what society expects. And yes. even though in today's world, it can be easier, by and large, the world is more accepting than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's still difficult.
Yes. 100%. One of the things that I'm so grateful for in this dad's group is, you know, I said people came from across the country to come to this holiday event that we had over the weekend here in Los Angeles. A couple of the guys I had met 2 years ago, when you're vulnerable with somebody and you share your story with somebody, 2 years had passed. When I saw them this weekend, it was like we just talked on the phone 2 days mm-hmm. ago. You just yeah. immediately reconnect with each other. You're just like in this, I don't know, this vibe or whatever it is, this flow with each other. And the conversation just picks up and continues to go on. A couple of the guys just really shared, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back, but just really shared how much they appreciate the podcast. How much they appreciate, you know, you and I being vulnerable, having these conversations. And I don't know, it just feels really good that at some level we are having an impact on other people's lives.
Absolutely. I mean, right. you know, it's not like you and I are getting rich off of what we're doing
no,
here.
No, but had we not had we not been vulnerable, had we not allowed ourselves to live our truth, we wouldn't be doing this. I didn't see this 3
exactly.
years ago. You didn't see this a year ago. It's like,
exactly.
So much good.
I mean, it's if you had told me 2 years ago that this is where I'd be right now and what we'd be talking about, I would have said you're absolutely, absolutely crazy. What are you talking about?
Promoting
it
gay
is
father's
really
podcast.
Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of I'm just going to put a little kind of plug in here.
Right.
Speaking of gay fathers get togethers, because we'll release this podcast in the next day or so on December 19th. For yes. any gay dads in the New York City area, we're actually having a get together. We'll be going out for some holiday cocktails and dinner. So if there's any gay dads in the New York City area that are listening, shoot us an email, comingsideout@gmail.com, and we can get you the details for that. But we're trying to, you know, just as I know Gay Fathers in LA has a really nice community, we're trying to build a little bit more of that community here in the New York City area as well. So we'll be having a little
Very
get
nice.
Together then.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So you have on here single versus partnered holiday experiences. You are partnered, are you not? You have a boyfriend.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Right. Yes.
How is that going, Mark?
Well, speaking of the holidays and experiences, so I will be. We're long distance. He lives about 5 hours away. But I'll be going there over the holidays. And that will be, you know, again, I mean, look, for me, I don't traditionally celebrate Christmas, but just the holiday season and being together, I'm really looking forward to it. You know, I think it'll be just, you know, casual and quiet. But you know, there is, you know, there is also a sense of, because it's the first time, it does bring up a lot of feelings of what was and what isn't anymore, right?
Yes.
I'll go back, you know, just going to go back on Thanksgiving, kind of along those lines on Thanksgiving Day. I talked about that, but one of the things that we always did as a family, since our kids were little, we'd wake up Thanksgiving morning, 9 o'clock, TV goes on and we watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh, yeah.
That right? I mean, minor thing, but it became a family tradition. We'd make a fire. Yes. Everybody would watch the parade. I'd make pancakes. And then because we weren't hosting Thanksgiving, it would be kind of, you know, and then we all get ready and we get in the car and we go. That was kind of, you know, our tradition for since the kids were 2-3 years old. All of a sudden this year, it's different. Just that Thanksgiving morning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt that. I felt that loss.
Yes.
What I've also learned to do, and I have to remind myself of this all the time, is I can feel that. It's like, it's okay to feel that.
Yes.
But not turn that into feeling guilt or shame.
Yes. Don't get lost in it. Feel it,
right.
But don't get lost in it. Right?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, so with your...
So as I think about kind of going into these holidays, I'm going to feel some of that as well. Yeah.
Yes. 100%. So with your boyfriend, I don't have a boyfriend, but if I had a boyfriend, I feel like my level of vulnerability with that person would be greater than what I had with my wife. Obviously, because I wasn't 100% authentic with who I was, my wife was robbed of some of who I was. Are you seeing that there is a depth or a different level of sharing or connection with your boyfriend than you were able to experience with your wife? Not the love, because you could love each of them uniquely and to the same depth, but just how you're able to come, how you're able to present, be in the relationship. Do you see a difference with that?
Wow. That is a great question. That really, and I'd say that that's a multi-layered, there's a multi-layered response there, I think. Because there is definitely a depth and degree of openness and vulnerability that I have with him, and that I think he's able to have with me, that I didn't feel I had before, but I didn't realize I didn't have it before because I was so hiding so much of myself. I went through life with this armor around me.
Yes.
That I couldn't allow myself to be truly vulnerable. So now I'm able to be much more vulnerable in ways I never could be before. Let that armor down. So yes, I definitely am able to do that with him, but I think I'm also able to do that in other areas of my life where I couldn't before.
Yes. And we've talked about that. You're sharing on LinkedIn, you're networking, the different things you do on different levels. But yes, so in your relationship, you are definitely noticing a new depth, a new experience.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. That is, that's good to hear. That's, puts a smile on my face. Yes. I would like that. I feel like I have a lot to offer. I have, you know, I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot of processing. I think that I, at least in my opinion, I'm the best version of myself that I have ever been. I would love to share that with somebody.
Do we need to turn this podcast into a dating service for your mind? Is that what I think? You know, should we have?
I think I'm too picky. I don't know. I don't know if I'm too picky or if I just want the one to be the first one rather than having to, you know, there's
all right. So I don't want to like, you know, start trying to therapize you here, but you know, what are the barriers that are getting in your way?
Authenticity, a person, well, first of all, most of the people that I see or interact with, unfortunately, there's a component of social media involved in it some way or another. It's a dating app, it's a online group, it's something, whatever it is. That's the bulk. I don't spend a lot of time at gay bars. I don't spend a lot of time hanging out in gay areas. So I don't know. I just don't find the connection with, first of all, I'm picky as far as the type of man I want to be with to begin with. Appearance
So,
wise, height wise,
all
age
right. So,
wise.
here's what I'm going to say, and you can tell me to shut up, and it's none of my
Go ahead.
business.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not going to disagree with you. Look, the apps can be incredibly toxic. I mean, if going to gay bars isn't your thing, okay, that's not your thing, right? Okay. But, and I'll just preface this, but we always say it's not for me to give advice,
Yes.
but you have to say, you have to try and put, you have to, you don't have to do anything. Again, you can tell me to shut the fuck up. But if you want to try and meet people, you have to find, you need to find the ways to, in some way, put yourself out there. We were talking about before taking risks. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Listen, my boyfriend, we met on Grindr.
Yes, this happens.
So what I'm saying is, right, it happens. It happens. And take, I'm trying to encourage you, take the small step. Say, where can I go? It may not, and maybe you have to work on letting go of whoever I meet at the outset has to be the perfect one, because you're never going to find
No.
the perfect one if
I'm
you
open to
don't
a
find the
friendship.
imperfect ones. Or
I'm open to just
recognize that none of us are going to, nobody's perfect.
Yes, and
Yeah.
I'm just going to meet a new great friend out of all of this. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
And through other and absolutely, absolutely. So I'm just trying to
I
encourage you.
fall
You know
back
what?
on
Take the small steps.
I fall back on
Sorry,
that
go ahead.
which is meant for me. Will not miss me. If it's meant for me, it will find me, is what I fall back on. So I think to myself, okay, I don't want to be searching. I want to be attracting versus searching. So I want to put an energy and a vibe out there that I am attracting into my life what I want. I feel like I do that. The apps, I think, for myself, and maybe we've spoken about this before, vibrationally, they feel a little low vibrational for me. I don't care who you
Yeah,
are, what you do, you
I get
got
it.
kinks, you like this, you like that. I don't give a shit. Most of that isn't for me. I don't judge you for that being your thing. It just doesn't resonate with me. And I just don't find that I connect with high vibrational men on Grindr or
Yeah.
Scruff or these other apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
Yeah.
tried meetup and like different meditation groups and a cycling club and different things like that. I don't know. This person has not come to me, and I ask myself all the time, why? What am I of what am if my focus is on finding this person, what am I not focusing on that maybe I should be focused on? So then I try and take my attention off of it, because I think if I'm seeking it, it's not I'm not going to find it. I need to attract it. So I kind of try and much as I can not have it be stapled to my forehead every day, if that makes sense. But I would love that connection. I would love that connection. So, yes.
Small steps, baby. Small steps.
Yes,
You know what? I
yes.
mean, cycling club, or you go to something, you know what? You start strike up a conversation with somebody. It's like, hey, let's grab a cup of coffee. Let's grab a drink. Just have
Yes.
casual conversation.
I prefer but, you somebody know,
it's
to...
tough. It is. It is. I'm not trying. And I'm not trying to belittle. You know, the challenge, right? It's tough coming out later in life, and it's like, how do you meet people? Where do you date? How do you like have? It's hard.
Yeah.
It is not. So I'm not trying to belittle the struggle, right?
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. Well, this past weekend, we went to Riho. We went to West Hollywood, which is a hotbed, mostly younger gay people. I would go there in the past and be like, oh, I hope I meet somebody. Oh, I hope I find somebody to talk to. And I'd always come home disappointed. And I'd be like, damn it. Why did I put myself in that situation, in that environment? I'm coming home disappointed because something didn't happen. This past time we went, I told my buddy, I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going there with negative expectations. I'm going there not expecting to meet or talk to anybody. I had a great time. I didn't talk to anybody except the people I went with.
Let go of the expectations. Exactly.
I had a much better time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, and I've found, kind of going back to what we were just talking about too, just like vulnerability and putting yourself out there, I've found a fundamental shift for me in all kinds of situations. Is like, if I'm going to a networking event or a social event, I feel much more comfortable. And part of it is because I can go and just say, I'm just going to be myself. Without expectation. And if somebody doesn't like me, okay, whatever.
Yes.
And there's something, you know, again, since being out and just feeling more comfortable in who I am, it just, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I like that.
I know I'm a good person. I know I'm a good person. I know I'm worthy.
You are a good person.
I know I bring a lot to
and you are worthy.
Yes. So at some point in time, yeah. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because some people stay single for, I don't know how long, forever. I'm hoping that doesn't happen to me, but I've kind of, yeah. I don't know.
And that's all a matter, you know.
Yeah.
Some people are very happy being single.
I feel like I thrive in a relationship, or I thrived in a relationship. And that's what, I don't know. That's what I want for myself.
Yeah. So, all right. And again, not to jump in here, but I'm just going to offer.
Yeah.
Is there a way to shift your perspective? Right. You were saying you thrived in a relationship.
Yes.
That was the old you in a different life. What if you worked on saying, hey, let me just let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to be in a relationship? Do I not need to be in a relationship? Does that even matter? Just.
Yes.
If letting go of the goal is I have to find a relationship versus, hey, I just want to meet people.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
No agenda, right?
Yes. We have talked about this. When my wife and I first separated, and I would have only seen my kids 50% of the time, at that time in my life, I was going out to dinner by myself. I was sitting at a bar in a restaurant, having dinner, watching a football game, watching a baseball game. For the first time in my life, I was doing things by myself, and I wasn't uncomfortable doing it. I went to the movie by myself. I have lived to do a lot of things by myself, not begrudgingly, not, you know, lonely. I take good care of myself. I walk my dog, I cycle, I go to the gym, I do all kinds of things. And I love that I have the freedom to do that. I wish I had somebody to share that with, is what I'm saying. But in the meantime,
I get it.
I'm not sitting here in bed eating a box of chocolates, although I would like to. I'm living my life. I'm just living it, feeling like there's a component missing from it.
Yeah.
And that's enough of Brian and his loneliness.
Wow.
Oh, Mark. All right, listen, you have on here gratitude in times of transition.
Yeah, so.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what you're grateful for right now.
There is, even in the most difficult of times, there's a lot we can be grateful for, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy to spend so much of our time bitching and complaining about all the things that are wrong. And, you know, I'm not immune to that, certainly. But, you know, just some of the things that you were talking about, there are times I'm very grateful for that, the ability I have to be on my own and be, it doesn't always mean having to go out and be crazy or anything like that. There are times where it's so wonderful actually to just have a night at home alone. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful in the friends that I have formed and the close friendships that I've been able to make and the ability to be so much more vulnerable than I ever felt I could in my life.
Yes.
I'm grateful that I have the love and the support of my family, as difficult as it has been at times, that they are there for me. I am there for them. There are some fundamental things that don't change around that.
Yes.
I don't lose sight of that. I'm grateful for just the ability, if that's the right word here, to just be me, authentic.
Yes. Yes. Whole. Yes.
Not hiding.
Yes. Yes. I am grateful that my children get to see this me. I am grateful to be able to share who I am with my kids. A couple weeks ago, I was with my son, and my ex texted me afterwards, and she's like, oh, one of my boys just notices such a difference in you, in my relationship with him, my softness with him, the fact that I don't, you know, I'm not drenched in anxiety or just whatever it is. Obviously, this isn't new for me because I've been doing this, working on this for the last 5 years. But over the last couple of years, I've noticed a huge shift in myself.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad I get to share this version of me with my kids. They get to see this, my truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Love that.
Yes.
Indeed. Well, this is probably a good note to start wrapping up on. What do you think?
Yes, I agree. Thank you, Mark. I always have such a great time talking to you, doing this podcast with you. Again, so many people tell us that they get so much from this. I feel lucky because I also feel like I get so much from this.
Me too. Absolutely. And, you know, as we move headlong into the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, New Year's season, we know that it can be joyful, challenging, terrible, sometimes all of those at the same time for everybody. Yeah. And
yes.
I think for me, it's just a constant reminder of the community here and the support and being able to have others to reach out to. And I hope that everybody and all of our listeners have some of that as well, and know that there are others that are going through similar things, and it's okay to not have it all figured out.
Yes. And, you know, we talk about on our Facebook groups, the Gay Dads group, the worldwide group, you have a group in your area. People post on there anonymously or they use their names. But if you're somebody who is struggling, you could write into the podcast. You know, we have people that write into us. Mark and I respond to all of our emails lovingly with complete confidentiality. So comingsideout@gmail.com and let us know how you're feeling, how you're doing. All right, Mark.
Absolutely.
I love you, man. Have a wonderful day.
Love you too.
All right. Well,